thank the Moritz Asra for that over-exaggerated introduction. You know, it's a mitzvah to publicize Nisim, Pitsume Nisim. I want to tell you a nace. When I left the Swerdlitz home about half an hour ago, thank you. I was not a gong. In a half an hour, I became a nace gong. I really have a dilemma here. There's a concept of a bittul Torah be'echus. There's also qualitative bittul Torah, not only quantitative. So even though I'm here to say divrei Torah, I think quality-wise, your rav would be a much better person to speak divrei Torah to you. And I think the band would be much more effective in giving you his solos. So I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing here. But Ritzono Shalom Mukvodo. And since your Rav asked me to speak, I can't refuse. Especially because I'm here representing Leiv Echov and Rav Nosson Kolm. So for his sake also, and for the sake of the organization, you're going to have to suffer with me. We have a very strange mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael before we left Mitzrayim. It's mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu way back in the beginning when he was chosen to redeem Klal Yisrael. And it's only mentioned again when it actually happened. But it's not mentioned when Moshe Rabbeinu told over to Klal Yisrael what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, which is also strange. What was that mitzvah? You're all familiar with the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded them to take gold and silver from the Egyptians, to be Mekayim, V'achrei Chen, Yetzu, B'rchush, Gadol, at least that they should feel that they're leaving with something in their hands. But there was a third thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, and which actually transpired when they left. They were to take smalos, Egyptian clothing, and they were told what to do with it also, to put it on their children. Samtem al b'neichem ve'al b'noseichem. Very strange mitzvah, because Chazal tell us that one of the zechuyos that Klal Yisrael had to leave Mitzrayim was Oshinu es Malbusha. They didn't wear Egyptian clothing. And here the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving them a mitzvah not only to take Egyptian clothing, put it on your children. What kind of chinuch is that? Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam want them to take Egyptian clothing with them and to put it on their children in the Midbar? I think that the lesson is an extremely important lesson that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach Klal Yisrael. And that is, that clothing probably, if you would go through the four halakim of the Shulchan Aruch, you'd find nothing wrong with that clothing. It was glatt kosher clothing. It must have been tzanua, otherwise how could they put it on their children? Even though the Torah Tmima says that the Egyptians wore mini clothing, mini dresses, and it fit the children very nicely, the adult clothing, but it didn't fit the adults. So that's why they had to put it on their children. But in any case, not mashma like that. The clothing must have been 100% kosher. It must have been tzanua. It must have not been shatnez. Anything that could be wrong with clothing could not have been wrong with that clothing. Otherwise, how could they put it on their children? And yet, had they worn that same glatt kosher clothing the last 210 years in Egypt, they wouldn't have gone out. Why? Because wearing that clothing in the desert had no implication. But wearing it in Mitzrayim implied that they wanted to be like the Mitzrayim. And that is treif bichas. So the same glatt kosher clothing in one place, in the desert, 100% okay, put it on your children. But in Egypt, it's not proper. Give me an example to that. When I was in high school a few years ago, the rage in the world were the Beatles. Not the six-legged variety, but the two-legged variety. In case you don't know who the Beatles were, or you don't want to admit you know who the Beatles were, I'll tell you. The Beatles were a rock band from Liverpool, England, who took the world by storm. And they created a few fads in the world at the time. One of them was that up until that time, only hippies and bohemians, men, had long hair. A very respectable lawyer, doctor, businessman did not have long hair. But since the Beatles, especially the drummer, Ringo Starr, had long hair, so people started to copy them. And respectable men started to have women's hairstyles. And whatever affects the Goyish world eventually affects the Jewish world and even the Frum world. So a few of my friends in the Masifta high school that I attended stopped taking haircuts. And after about 2-3 months, it started looking like a co-ed school. And one Friday, the Rebbeim called in these boys and said, you have a choice. You can take a normal man's haircut, Lakovit Shabbos, and then you're welcome to come back on Sunday. If you choose not to take a normal man's haircut for Shabbos, then you're suspended and don't come back until you do. My friends were not daunted by that. And they said, but Rebbe, a Nazir, has long hair and he's a holy man. We just want to be holy people.
No one.
He said, did you ever see a picture of the Rabbi Shavar Gong? He had a big head of hair. They say that he didn't take off his yarmulke to take a haircut because he didn't stop learning. We just want to be like the Rabbi Shavar. The Rebbeim said, haircut or don't come back on Sunday. Why? Because it may be that if you go through the four halakim of Shulchan Aruch, could be that you won't find anything wrong with a man having long hair. Could be. Even Lahagabi Hilchas Tfilin, Lahilchas Avodah Zorah, whatever could be. Could be that nothing wrong halakhically. But if the reason you're growing long hair is to be like the Beatles, it's Treifichas. That's the lesson the Rebbeim Shalom wanted to teach us. I want you to take that clothing with you out of Mitzrayim. I want you to put it on your children. I want you to know that clothing is 100% glad kosher in the Midbar when there aren't any Mitzrayim around. But in Mitzrayim, when you do it to be like the Mitzrayim, there it's treif, and you would not have gone out had you worn that clothes the last 210 years in Mitzrayim. We are in Am Levodot Yishkam. We're a nation that dwells apart, not isolated from the world, because we're supposed to be a Or Lo Amin. We're supposed to influence the world. We're supposed to be a light to the nations of the world. We can't be isolated from the world. But we have to be insulated from the world. We have to be able to create our own society, our own standards and values, live amongst the world, but not with the world. And therefore, Chazal say that Klal Yisrael are compared to oil, and the nations of the world are compared to water. According to other Midrashim, we're compared to water, and they're compared to water, and we're compared to fire. Fire and water can't mix. Oil and water can't mix, however. If you put a pot between the water and the fire, they can get along very nicely, where the fire helps the water and affects cooking. But there has to be a separation. The same thing goes with the oil and the water. The oil can float on top of the water with a certain surface tension separating them. The oil will protect the water, and the water will support the oil. We can exist amongst the nations of the world very nicely as long as we remain an Am Levavda Gishkon. We remain insulated. But once you try to mix the fire and the water, then the water is going to put out the fire. And when you try to mix the oil with the water, eventually the water pressure will push the oil out. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that the Jew really has only two choices. Either we can make Kiddush, or the Goy will make Havdalah. Either we choose to sanctify ourselves and separate ourselves from the nations of the world by the way that we live, the way that we act, what our standards and our values are, and then we can live in peace with the nations of the world. But when we try to assimilate and try to push our way into the non-Jewish cultures, then it's been historical from Mitzrayim and on. Vatimolei haaretz osam. It's only after we left Goshen and we tried to assimilate into the Egyptian culture. Immediately, Vayakom Melech Chodosh, they made the Havdalah. The same thing happened in Spain, and the same thing happened in Germany. So whenever the Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the Goy will make Havdalah. And Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg points out that it's not because we detest the nations of the world, Chas V'Shalom, that we hate them, that we consider them abominable. It's not the case. It's because we understand who we are. The Kutzker Rebbe said in Yiddish, but I'm not going to break my teeth over it. I don't have that many teeth left to break. So they're very valuable to me. And to say it in English doesn't sound right either. To say it in Hebrew. He said the following. He said, Ani ani, mipnei she'ani ani. V'ata ata mipnei she'ata ata. Oz ani ani v'ata ata. Aval im ani ani mipnei she'ata ata. V'ata ata mipnei she'ani ani. Oz ein ani ani v'ein ata ata. Meaning the following. If I am me, because I know who I am, and you are you because you know who you are, then we both have identities. I have an identity as me, and you have an identity as you. But if my only identity is that I know I'm not you, I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not you, it's a negative identity. And your identity is that you know you're not me, but you don't know who you are, then neither of us have an identity. We don't have to define ourselves by the fact that we're not goyim. Let the goyim live and prosper and keep their seven mitzvahs. But l'maisha, I know who I am. And I know that I have a different mission in this world. What is that mission? Pasuk says, V'avdi l'eschem min ho'amin li'os li. Rashi brings down the chazal there. Im atem uvdolim atem shali. If you separate yourself from the nations of the world, you're mine. V'im lav atem shal nebuchadnezzar v'chadim. And if not, you don't separate yourself from them, then you belong to Nebuchadnezzar and his cohorts. Simple meaning probably is, if you separate yourself from the to'evos, from the abominations of the nations of the world, if they do, then you're mine, I'll protect you. And if you don't, then I'll hand you over to your enemies like Nebuchadnezzar. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say I'll hand you over to your enemies. It says, Atem Shem Nebuchadnezzar, you belong to him. And why Nebuchadnezzar? We have plenty of enemies before him and after him. Why mention Nebuchadnezzar specifically? I think the answer is the following. We have a mission in this world, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, that's what the Rebbe Shem created us to do. Amzu yotzarti li, ki losi yisaperu. We are God's representatives to the world. We're a mamleches kohanim. A kohen is God's representative to the Jewish people. We are the kohanim of the world. How do we represent God to the world? We don't hand out his calling card. If you need God, see me. but by fulfilling the second part of that pasuk. Mamleches Kohanim v'goy kadosh. By living a life of Kedusha, different than the rest of the nations of the world. The rest of the nations of the world have to be moral. They don't necessarily have to be holy. Morality is the seven mitzvahs of Noah. Seven is the number of nature. The non-Jew has to keep in consonance with nature, not to destroy the world, not to distort the world, and if he does that, he'll give a share of the world to come. Chasidei umos ha'olam, tzadikei umos ha'olam. But he doesn't have to be holy. We have to be holy. What's the difference? I'll give you a small example that I can remember from my experience. In Eretz Yisrael, we had, up until the time we added to it, a small home. We had Kenina Hara, 11 children sleeping in the house, and we had basically three bedrooms. One for my wife and myself, one for our five daughters, and one for our six sons. The six sons slept in one room with triple bunk beds. And every morning, the top one hit his head on the ceiling when he got up in the morning. When my oldest two daughters became teenagers, if you don't have daughters who are teenagers, I will not scare you and tell you what they're like, but in any case, when they became teenagers, I had a second house for my sparring. And that house also had two bedrooms in it. And my daughters came to me with a petition that they do not want to share a bedroom with their bratty little sisters. They are already teenagers. They need rooms of their own. And they had a great idea. They would move into my study and sleep in those two bedrooms, and each would be able to decorate their room the way they wanted to as young ladies. And we agreed. So they each had their own room. And this was fine until Pesach. I had an old uncle, Olav HaShalom, who was sickly, who never got married, and he used to come and spend between Pesach and Shavuos with us in Matit Yom. And he had been the babysitter for these girls when they were babies. In any case, the only place we had for him to stay was in my study. So I told my daughters that because of the halachas of Yichud, they couldn't be alone with their old sickly grand uncle, and they would have to move back into the house for that period between Pesach and Shavuos. And they said, Tati, this is ridiculous. We'll both move into one room, and he could be in the other room. I thought, it's very nice, but halachically, it's awesome. You're the Yichud, right, with your great uncle. They said, Tati, we promise you, we have no designs on our old uncle. And he's an old, sickly man. We promise you, nothing is going to happen. It sounds very nice, but the halacha says, not like that, you're going to have to move back. And one of the reasons I gave them was, you're right, morally, there's probably nothing wrong with you staying in that same house with your old uncle. But we have to be more than moral. We have to be holy. And holiness it's not. That's a difference. For a goy, it would be 100% okay. Nothing immoral about it. But it's not kedusha. It's not representative of our relationship with the Rebbe Shalom. That's what the Torah says. V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, I separated you from the nations of the world, not the bad ones, the best of them. Leos Lee to be my representative. So imatem muvdalim, if you accept that mission and you separate yourself from the culture of the nations of the world, the best of them. They say that Rav Aaron Kotler, during one of the presidential elections here, kept asking a bacher who won the election, who's the president of the United States, over and over, until they got the results from the election. And the Bacher finally, he asked Rav Aaron, what difference does it make to the Rosh Yeshiva who the president of the United States is? He said, tomorrow morning I'm going to have to make a bracha shalom asani goy. And it's not shalom asani goy of the goy who's shikur in the bar, but shalom asani goy of the most mechubedik goy, the president of the United States. We'll leave that without any comment. When I have kavana, shalom asani goy, I'm the most mechubedik goy. Not because Rav Aaron didn't appreciate and respect the president of the United States, just the opposite. Respected him. And that was a symbol of the most refined goy that he could imagine. And yet we're supposed to be different. Not because there's something wrong with him, but because something is different about us. Because we have a different mission. So says Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. It's not that we separate ourselves from the goyim because we look down on them, because we abhor them, because we hate them, chas v'shalom, can respect them tremendously. But we do it because we understand who we are, not because we understand who we are not, but who we are, and what we are, and what our mission is. And therefore, we're muvdol, and therefore we're saved. So im atem muvdol, im atem shali. If you separate yourself from the best of the nations of the world, then you are my representatives to the world because you live a life of kedusha, not just a life of morality. But in love, that life of kedusha that we're supposed to live as God's representatives is what's called the mikdash. He also the mikdash v'shochanti b'socho, not b'socho. God doesn't dwell in a building. He dwells in the hearts of every Jew. The mikdash is only the catalyst that enables the Rebbeinu's presence to dwell amongst the Jewish people and in the Jewish people. And therefore, someone who doesn't accept that mission and doesn't separate himself from the nations of the world. So he's machriv a mikdash. He's destroying a mikdash, not of stones and wood. He's destroying the mikdash of his heart. And therefore, he belongs to a very select group of people called Nebuchadnezzar v'chaveirah, because that's what they did. They destroyed a mikdash of wood and stone, and we're destroying the mikdash of our heart. In order to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Sfarno says there had to be something that linked. The Hotseishi, the Hitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokati comes after that, the Daten Kiyami Hashem. You have to understand the purpose of why I redeemed you from Egypt. Why did the Goalti and the Hitzalti, in order of the Lokati Hashem Lila of? That's the purpose of it all. I took you out of Egypt, so you'll take the Egypt out of you. And you'll be Li, you'll be Lishmi, you'll be my representatives to the world. And then you can go into Eretz Yisrael, because that's the purpose of Eretz Yisrael. The purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that we can create a society that's unlike the nations of the world, with different standards and different values. Not because, again, they're doing something wrong. They can be doing perfectly what's good for a goy, seven mitzvahs. But because we have to create a society that's kodesh, a society that's an or la'amim, that gives a nation something to look up to. So the purpose of Eretz Yisrael is only achieved if we know and understand the purpose of the Geula, of the Arba Lashonos of Geula. And because they didn't understand that, the lowest bonenu, lo shomuel moshe mikotza ruach miavoda kosha, and therefore the Vehevesi wasn't mekuyim. They died in the midbar, and only the next generation went into Eretz Yisrael. The Maisa were still in that Golus. Even in Eretz Yisrael were still in Golus. A different Golus. So what do we use in place of Eretz Yisrael when you can't be in Eretz Yisrael? So Chazal say, Bote Knesios and Bote Medrashos Shebachutz Laretz have a din of Eretz Yisrael. It's Kehilas like this that create an insulation from the nations of the world around, from the culture around. And that is the ability to be able to be insulated and protected. Shuls like this, Rabbanim like this, Shiurim like this, Kumsitzim like this, that create that insulation. I have a din of Eretz Yisrael, but it's even more than that. There's a medrash in the Paneach Raza in Parshas Noach. The medrash says, "L'mishpachoseihem yotzu min hateva, mikan sheyotzu mibeis hakneses mishpachos mishpachos." When they left the teva, they left by family. From here we learn that when you leave the shul, you should leave family by family. So the simple meaning is that the word teva means a boat, but in the Lashon HaMishnah, the teva was the Aron Kodesh. Motzinus HaTeva L'Rechovo Sho'ir HaNatayimus. The teva was the Aron Kodesh. So a play on words. The Mishpach Hoseim Yotzim in HaTeva, when you leave the Aron Kodesh, you should leave by family. In English, that's still preserved, because we have Noah's Ark, and we have the Holy Ark. So when you leave the Ark, you should leave by family. They're both arcs. What's the real meaning? We live in a world where if we don't insulate ourselves, we're going to be drowned by the cultures around us. The Meiri says that the rishus, the evil in this world, and evil doesn't necessarily mean positive evil, it can be passive evil too. Evil klape os. What's evil for a Jew is not necessarily evil for a goy. The evil in the world is like the yam, like the sea. And the way to escape it is like a boat. Very difficult in the Erie. You can't escape the sea in a boat. You can escape the sea in an amphibious craft, which can go on the dry land. But a boat can only go on the sea. What he means is, you can't escape those negative influences because they're everywhere. They're in Far Rockaway, and they're in Moshe Matityahu, and they're in Square Town, and they're in Meyashorim. They're everywhere. The most you can do is insulate yourself from them. You can't isolate yourself from them. It's impossible to run away. So you have to build a boat, which is watertight, which doesn't let in those negative influences. There's one problem, though. So what are those boats? Those boats are bate knesios, bate medrashos, yeshivas, seminaries, kehilas. Those are the boats that create that insulation. There's only one problem. You can't spend your entire life in a shul. I know it's beginning to feel like that now, but in any case, I promise you we're almost there. You can't spend your whole life in a yeshiva or a seminary either. So how do you leave and still be protected? That's what the Medrash says. L'mishpachoseihem yotzu min hateva. You want to leave the teva, the yeshiva, the seminary, the kehila, and still be protected? So when you have a mother ship, you also have lifeboats. That you can leave the mother ship and still be protected. What are the lifeboats? Mishpachos, family. If your family has the same standards and values as the kehila, as the yeshiva, as the seminary, then you can leave physically the yeshiva, the Beis HaKnesses, the seminary, and still be protected by the boat, the lifeboat, that's called your mishpacha. So if we create kehilas, and we create yeshivas and bote medrashos, and we then emulate the values of those kehilas in our own personal family, then Yirtzeh Hashem will be able to be Mekayim, for Avdil Hashem Mino Amim Liosli, and we won't have to be Yotzei with Bote Knesios or Bote Medrashos Shebachutz La'aretz and the din of Eretz Yisrael, but we will welcome the White Shul to come to Eretz Yisrael. There's plenty of empty land around us, especially when the Arabs will be moving, and you'll be able to take up their land willingly, Yirtzeh Hashem, and we will welcome you. We'll welcome I'll have an even greater introduction for Rabbi Feinberg when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, if you can imagine that. And the Mir Tzachem, that's what Olei Becha and Rabbi Kondo are working on, creating mishpachos from families that have been detached from their heritage for a generation or two generations. And he's bringing them back and creating Eretz Yisrael to be what Eretz Yisrael is really what's supposed to be. And in that course of Yitz Hashem, we'll see from the Vigaten, the Hevesi Hashem of the Oretz, the Vyasu of Tzedek, the Hevesi Hashem.